Hey, I'm Josh Barrow, your new host of Left, Right, and Center. Every week, join Rich Lowry, Bob Scheer, and me for a contentious yet civilized debate of the week's big political stories, from ISIS to the U.S. economy to this 47-candidate presidential election we're having. You can find Left, Right, and Center on KCRW's iTunes page.
From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest, Sarah Silverman, you may know from the Emmy winner. She's an Emmy winner. How many Emmys? Two, is it?
Two.
Of course, from the Sarah Silverman program. I met her when you were doing Jesus is Magic. That's when we first met. And one of my favorite things that she still does is she's the voice of Ollie Pesto on Bob's Burgers. I love that show.
I can't believe you even know our last name.
You're Jimmy Pesto's brother. Twin brothers. How would I not know that? But she is here for her newest movie, an adaptation of the novel I Smile Back. It's nice to have you back here.
11 years.
It's been a long time since I've seen
you. I come here every 11 years, whether I want to or not. Strict regimen.
I'm used to people, whether they want to or not. That's kind of the condition of doing this show. I have to ask you, because you're playing Lainey, the character you're playing in I Smile Back. That character, I mean, is this almost the kind of thing that could be the kind of thing you would address in some of your stand-up material?
You know what? You're the first person to say something like that. And, there is truth. It's of course, comedy and drama share a wall, at least. But my stand-up is – the topics tend to always be bleak, tragic, or – sad or dark, and so it was. It wasn't similar, but it was. There are like weird, odd similarities. You know, in this last special I did, I talk about how when people are self-deprecating all the time, and that they think it's some kind of modesty, and it's not. It's self-obsession. There isn't room for anybody else. You know, Mother Teresa didn't complain about her thighs. She was busy. She had other things to do, and there's a similarity kind of with this character in that she so lives in the future of what if, and of that anxiety that. What if I ruin my kids? What if I abandon them? That there isn't room for anything else, not even her kids that she's so worried about, And the one thing she does have control over is kind of her own destruction and making this terror and this fear a self-fulfilled prophecy. So they're not that dissimilar in that. What I like about this character and about the movie is that people are going to walk away from it with different ideas of who she is and different levels of empathy or sympathy or just total disdain. And it's going to have to do with the prism of their own experience that they're watching it through, completely. And I love that. That's what makes art. I'm not saying it is art. It might be good or bad, but that's what makes art is that you're watching it in the context of your own life. Let me tell you about art, Elvis Mitchell, by the way. I just caught myself going, feeling like a...
Like an artist. But
I'm an artiste.
Forgive my imprecision. I forgot the vowel.
Is that two E's?
It is now. I guess what I was thinking, though, and when I watched the movie for the first time, and the thing that really maybe separates her from you is that Lainey is somebody who lacks self-awareness. And you, as a persona, as a comedian, kind of make fun of self-awareness and degrees to which people have it or don't.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I thought that was a really interesting thing, and I just wondered if that was a tough place to get yourself into because she's so busy kind of making a spectacle of herself and basically paving this path to self-destruction, that she does lack any kind of awareness of the disaster she's wreaking on everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. It's challenging, and it wasn't like I had to put some like drama sauce on something. It was just playing it real and honestly and with the resources I had to kind of figure out who this person is. And I had a lot of help from the director and the writers who were there every day. And I made a decision to really kind of always go with the director, Adam Salke's take on something, or Amy and Paige's take on something.
Amy Koppelman and Paige Dillon.
Yes, Amy Koppelman, who wrote the book, and Paige Dillon, who Amy wrote the screenplay with. Because, you know what? The Shining, the DVD of The Shining, there is an awesome
featurette.
Oh, well, of course you know about it. So I have to watch it every, 6 months. It's so good.
But it's funny you mention that, because if you watch that, you're aware that basically Stanley Kubrick is just sort of destroying Shelley Duvall.
Oh, wow. It's so – he is. He's really destroying her, and she's just crumbling. And it's almost like he just made the reality he wanted that character to be into a reality for her. But it was really interesting to watch. And the character – that is Jack Nicholson, you know, and at this, vital young – I mean, he is still vital but older. But Elvis is leaning away from the microphone to laugh, because we can't have people thinking that he laughs. I'm struggling here. Okay, so in the featurette – hold me. In the featurette, he – which I think Kubrick's daughter made, or, you know, while they were shooting. And but Jack Nicholson says something, and it always stuck in my mind about acting, which was, he said, you know, whenever I have a – I'm really good at impressions. Say I have a take on a line or a scene or something, and if the director has a different take, I always go with the director so that my work doesn't become predictable.
You may have thought you were listening to Jack Nicholson a second ago.
Yeah, I know.
This is just Sarah Silverman.
You guys, it was me.
It's The Treatment. Her new film that she's starring in is the adaptation of I Smile Back. But I do think, and I've given this some thought, that there's so much about you as a person that's completely self-aware. And you're so often making fun of people's relationship to self-awareness, which I think is a really cool perspective to have. And to play somebody who doesn't have that piece of equipment, I just wonder if turning that part of yourself off was a hard thing to do.
Well, no, I don't think that was particularly challenging. It was really – the challenging part was, you know, I had talked myself into thinking that between, you know, action and cut, it will be heavy. And then between cut and action, we can do bits and fool around and have a whole lot of fun. And that's, I guess, was that – that lie to myself was my survival skill of trying to make it through this. I'm so glad I didn't know the truth that it is true what actors say when it's – you got to carry around all these emotions, you know. So in between shots, you're just – you've got this bundle of emotions at the surface that you don't know what to do with. Like I lost my shit at one point. You know, I realized it was like, you know, it was over nothing. Like, there's no coffee. I mean, how can there be no coffee? The crew needs coffee. Coffee is free, essentially, you know. And basically, then I went on an apology tour to everybody. And then I realized I just, you have all these feelings and you don't know what to do with them, you know, like a toddler or something, because you have to kind of have access to them. And it sounds so corny, and I'm finding myself saying things that I previously rolled my eyes to when I would watch, you know, actors talking, which I love watching, but, you know, you go, oh, all right, you know, whatever. But I guess there's truth to it. There are some people that can separate – you always hear, like, oh, Tom Hanks can be, like, joking up until the second, and then he's, you know, shooting Philadelphia, whatever. And – or Captain Phillips. That's a more recent reference. But I'm not advanced enough to figure that out, I guess. But I'm so glad I didn't know how hard it would be, because I would have tried to get out of it.
Did you like doing it? Did you like that you were able to do this in this way that surprised you, that you couldn't let this stuff go? Was that kind of interesting to you, to have that experience?
I feel terrible saying it was not fun. But, you know, it's not necessarily supposed to be fun, and a great experience isn't always fun, is what I'm learning in my way too late in the game, probably.
But you got to – I mean, some part of this is you got to give yourself to it, don't you? I mean, if you're playing it, you have to be it. I hate to put it like that, but It sounds like the sort of thing in the abstract, oh, my God, these actors, they're so hard for them sitting in front of the camera or somebody pours coffee to make sure it's the right temperature so they burn their hands. Oh, my God, it's so difficult. But you're playing somebody who really gets, in some ways, some pleasure. I think about that great dinner scene where she basically ruins it for everybody. And there's this glint in her eye, like she's really enjoying this.
Yeah, well, I think, like, sometimes the when people are struggling or feeling bad about themselves, that's how bullies are made, you know. And there may be some kind of immediate satisfaction out of it, but it's in the long run. I don't think it made her feel good, you know.
But that thing, where I just remember in reading the book, where she almost has to sort of make people feel the way she feels, so she doesn't feel so alone.
Right.
And that, to me, kind of felt like this sort of apotheosis of that, of her. Well, you know, if I'm going to feel like this, I'm not going to do it by myself.
Yeah, and well, this is a very specific story. This is like a, you know, a macro version of that, you know, and you could see in all sorts of ways in this country, in this whole world, and in, you know, I think if everybody felt okay in the skin they were in, there would probably not be, may I be so bold to say, war or mass shootings or, you know, I mean, it's also a movie about mental health to a degree and the way we look at it and treat it, the way we self-medicate, you know. I self-medicate to a degree. I'm also non-self-medicated. I'm medicated in so many ways. getting my sweat on is medication for me even, you know, but...
But again, this gets back to that thing I was saying before about self-awareness. I mean, if you understand yourself well enough to know that you have, you know, that the black monster that so many poets have talked about, you're dealing with depression, and you understand yourself, and you're not trying to tell yourself that you can handle this on your own, then you're one person. And if you're not that person, then you're Lainey. And she really is just sort of thinking if she can just get into the next part of her life or get through to tomorrow, everything's going to be okay. But I just thought that scene, I was really impressed with it, first of all, because it's the kind of thing you could have, like, played bigger or sort of made fun of or any number of things.
Which scene?
That scene, that dinner table
oh,
scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you were really in that. And I just found myself really caught off guard by the degree to which there was so much complexity. There were so many things going on in that scene. And that, to me, felt like one of the moments where, I hate to be corny about this, but actors talk about being possessed by something where you're not yourself anymore.
Hmm. Yeah, I think when you can't see beyond yourself and your suffering, those two things, that if you're in a situation where people are drinking and you can't drink and it feels like you take it personally, you know, or just even by people being okay around you. I remember when I was a teenager, you know, like 14, I was in such chemical depression, just such depression, and I would see my friends just existing, you know, and I just was in awe of it. I was so jealous of their ability to just, like, get through the day without thinking about death or, the misery of everything and being paralyzed by it. But they were just existing. That, you know, they say if you live in the past, it's depression. If you live in the future, it's anxiety. So you have no choice. You have to be in the present, which, of course, is a struggle for even the most enlightened people, you know. But it is, like you say, if you're not self-aware, then you're Lainey. And then how do you help Lainey? How can she help herself? How could even outside forces help her? I'm not even sure. I mean, mental health is still kind of a mystery in a lot of ways. Even somebody who has access to the best of everything, you know. I've been working desperately on a joke that does not work, but the premise is so good, and I haven't figured it out, but it does kind of make me think of this in that way of, like, how we've all heard people say, he just wants attention, don't give it to him, you know. That's heartbreaking. We tend to have this disgust when we sense human need, you know? And it's it breaks my heart that our instinct isn't, he just wants attention. Let's give it to him, you know? It's like, make sure he knows he's loved. And I know what it is. It's the way people ask for attention, because we're not living these conscious lives where we're going, you know what? I'm checking in with myself right now, and I feel like maybe I need a little attention, you know? Not that that isn't off-putting in its own way. But it's the way we ask for attention, this unconscious way. You pull hair, you act out. You ask for attention, even if it's negative attention. You want the absolute value of even negative attention is attention, you know?
Sure. Now we wrestle with math for a little bit. We'll take a break. My guest is Sarah Silverman. Her terrific performance in the new movie is I Smile Back. There's more to come. It's a treatment. Stay with us.
KCRW's popular iPad Music Mine app is now available for the iPhone. From quick discovery to deep exploration, take KCRW Music with you wherever you go. Download at kcrw.com/musicmine.
I'm listening to Sarah Silverman. It's The Treatment. We're talking about her new film, her great performance in the film, I Smile Back. I guess, though, and just watching so much of what you've done, you've been so often a supporting character. And I wondered if part of the reason you took this on is you really felt like you wanted to be in the center of something and doing I Smile Back.
I guess it was a plus. It was an enticement. But it was just this opportunity came to me. I wasn't, I never have a plan or I rarely have a goal even.
Really? Because you strike me as being somebody who's very much goal-oriented in terms of the way you structure your act. And you're just talking about wrestling with this joke that you're looking for a way to set up and pay off.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, yeah, I'm goal-oriented in terms of that, in terms of stand-up. I always, you know. And acting has been such a interesting, to use a ABC's The Bachelor term, journey for me.
I'm not laughing off mic now.
But it does take it. I'm not complaining, but it takes away from, you know, stand-up is something that you have to constantly be doing or, you know, so I'll get two steps forward and then I work on something that's acting or promoting acting, promoting a movie, and I don't get to do stand-up, and the best analogy is like exercise. You know, if you don't exercise for a year, you feel like, you know, it's hard to get back into it. And it's like that with stand-up, for if you do miss 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Being a stand-up is just like my existence more, you know.
I remember something, and this reason that Martin Scorsese cast Albert Brooks in Taxi Driver. He said one of the things he loves about comedians is they can make a line land. That they are so skilled at using words that they know how to make them work in the way that actors will sometimes really worry over. And it feels like in some ways if you're really accomplished, not in some ways, if you're accomplished at being a comedian, then that's a skill that you've developed, that you know how to make the language pay off for you. But so much of this performance is her not talking.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was hard for you.
It was interesting. I enjoyed it. I think I really learned from Gary Shandling, really, to not discount the moments between talking, even in stand-up. And that's interesting to me. You know, it's, I guess, negative space or... he gave me a big yes. I was right. He knew I was insecure. So I'm interested in that. I'm interested in what gets conveyed when without words, you know. And it's a restrained kind of experience, you know, this character. And I tried to do it objectively. And she is, you know, you, like I said, you have all these feelings in the surface, but that's just to have access to them, but Lainey is covering what she's feeling at all times, you know? So it's reined in even in the scene when she's feeling something, she's not she then is very expertly not showing those feelings. So that's a tricky thing to convey. But it's also just something I think we're all familiar with, you know, being a human being. What's helped me in acting is, you know, learning how to act, but also a lot of really good therapy and being so interested in it, you know, and interested in human nature and learning about that, you know. And, you know, stand-up is, people don't think of it as acting, but it is acting. You know, it doesn't necessarily translate to every form of acting, but, you know, like, I know that knowing Joan Rivers, her greatest sadness was that she was never seen as an actor, you know.
Did you ever see The Swimmer? She's in a movie with Burt Lancaster called The Swimmer.
No, but I think she had sex with him, isn't that? Or she had a thing with Burt Lancaster. When she was on Howard Stern, she talked about having something with Burt Lancaster. Anyway, sorry.
No, but I'm just saying that
I didn't know that. I've got to see that. But yeah, I know that she, you know, because she said, how do people think that, you know, I go up and do stand-up every night, that can be in that same place in real life every night? You know, it's acting. It's, or, you know, make that
it's playing
same
a character
material fresh, or, you know. But yeah, she was so prolific and so talented, and it breaks my heart that she was dissatisfied with any part of her life or how she was perceived. But that's also, you know, it's, someone said, like, are you excited that you got nice reviews for this? You know, and it's, you know, I mean, I got some people said nice things, and it is, I'm trying to make myself feel very good about it, let myself feel good about it. But it's also, it's a slippery slope when I've worked hard to try to not let what I feel about myself be defined by outside forces, because the pendulum swings, you know, all sorts of ways. So it's nice to feel nice from nice things. I feel like Frank Burns, and you say that in MASH. It's nice to be nice to the nice.
I don't know what I'm saying. I guess we just remember the beautiful Larry Gilbert line from MASH is Sarah Silverman. We're talking about her new movie, I Smile Back. Can you watch yourself in movies? What did you think when you saw I Smile Back?
I've seen it twice now, and the second time was a lot easier. I was able to be kinder to myself because I was able to kind of watch it a little bit more objectively. It's impossible to totally watch it objectively. But sometimes I watch myself and I just love it, you know. But sometimes it's real hard. It all depends on just what I think critically about it. But, you know, I give myself a lot of leeway with this, which I think is the reason why people are kind.
Some part of you has got to like the idea of having to put the bag of tricks aside you can't not like the idea of being vulnerable if you go on stage for a living. Because at some point, that audience mix, that sort of heady, volatile thing that happens when you walk into a room of strangers, you are making yourself vulnerable and you are offering yourself up for some kind of danger. And you've got to be attracted to that.
That's
there must
true.
Be something that you like about doing
you're
that.
Smart.
Nobody's ever said that before.
That is true. That is true. But it's in the realm of comedy. Yeah, I'm completely drawn to it. It's almost a perversion. I mean, it's exhibitionistic, or whatever the word with
yeah, exhibitionism.
Exhibitionism,
exhibitionism
to a degree, for sure. Yeah, revealing embarrassing things about myself for hopefully a laugh. But I'm ahead of it because I'm laughing at it, or I'm revealing it for people to laugh at. This is something where I'm like, I'm taking myself seriously, you guys, you know, and it's, this is good. This is a therapy session for me right now. You're helping me.
Nobody's ever said that either. But I guess part of that, too, is as a comedian.
You need to get better friends.
Or friends. But if this thing of being a comedian is, at some point, you controlling it, especially now because you've been doing it this long.
Yeah.
And acting, which I'm not going to say you've done as a lark, but you played things that you've been able to sort of get a laugh at for the most part, maybe not in Take This Waltz, but in a lot of things you've done. Because I think about that great rant you did at the beginning of The Way of the Gun, which is almost kind of a showstopper. It's really something. And that could almost be, that could be Sarah Silverman. You could be playing some character like that on stage. Do this kind of thing again where you've taken away that safety net of being able to say, this is not me to the audience, where you're saying to the people on the in the frame with you on, in the set, when you're standing in front of that mirror, exposing you, literally, you can't be more exposed in that scene when you're in front of that mirror and don't like what you see and don't like what it's saying about you because you're seeing your past and your future in that moment. That's got to be terrifying, but also really attractive to you. You've got to prove to yourself you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was, there was, fun is not the word, but there's, it was.
Exhilarating?
That's what I was going to say, exhilarating. I think it was exhilarating. It was kind of exciting to get to do this. You know, when the script came to me, Amy Koppelman sent me the book and then she wrote the script. And she decided that I was the right person to play this from listening to me on Howard Stern while she was driving the West Side Highway. And, you know, besides the fact that it's so rare that somebody can imagine you in a way they haven't already seen you, which is odd that it's rare, but it is rare even in this creative kind of realm. But that she wanted me for this. When they asked me to, this is a very show business technical term, so you might not understand it, but attach me to the project. They wanted me to attach myself.
I'm
going to
go to that Wikipedia after this is over, so I can see what that is.
I said, sure. I didn't even think about it, to be honest, because it did not occur to me the movie would get made. You know, most movies don't get made. And I just figured if this was something real, they would get, you know, a movie star to do it or, you know. So when it did become real, and it was a couple of years later, I remember writing back to the email, yay! You know, I replied all and wrote, yay, and pressed send. But then I just almost instantly had a full-body panic attack where I was just shaking and thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. I completely melted down, and then I realized this is where Lainey exists in the fear of what if. And so I thought, well, maybe I can do this because I'm doing it right now. So that was a kind of a cool revelation, and it was helpful in just kind of embracing the fear and the terror of what if, that is kind of right on target for this person.
We're out of time. I'm so sorry. You have to come back. It's maybe like only every 5.5 years instead of every 11 years.
I'm really learning because I feel like the first time I was here, I felt like you have to talk like this because it's
public
radio.
Radio.
Well, Elvis, I was like, well, that's not how I talk at all. He's covering his face.
I will do my best not to sound like that. My guest who's offers a show business primer is Sarah Silverman. Her newest film with a terrific performance is I Smile Back. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you. That was fun.
Yeah, now it's over. And let me thank a few people. Our recording engineer who also mixes the show, Kat Yore. It's edited by Blake Veit, who's the associate producer. I guess I'm boring. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You know me. It's The Treatment. The world is next.